Over the weekend, the Biden administration directed Immigrations and Customs Enforcement to clear low-priority immigration cases. The goal is to speed up processing of higher-priority cases involving public safety or national security threats. The move could clear the largest ever number of cases from the court docket. As many as 40% of the current 1.7 million case backlog could be eligible. We're talking about changes in immigration policy under President Biden, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about this immigration court backlog? Find it confusing? You're not alone. If so, call in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this idea of trying to prioritize the highest priority cases? 800-642-1234 is the number, or email ideas@wpr.org. Aaron Barbato is the director of the Immigrant Justice Clinic at the University of Wisconsin Law School. Aaron, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for having me.
So there's a lot going on here. I kind of want to take this a step at a time. First, we have this backlog of these 1.7 million immigration-related cases. How did the backlog grow to be this big?
You know, it's a number of factors, but we've certainly seen it grow through the pandemic when immigration courts were generally closed most of the time, especially for cases that were not detained, so people not in prison during the process of their case. And so the backlog just continued to grow and the case processing times continued to grow as well.
And who are we talking about here? Who are the people in this backlog and how did they end up there?
You know, there are a number of different factors and a number of different people that are involved. So when someone is in this backlog, they're in what's called removal proceedings. And that's a proceeding where the government is deciding whether the person should be removed, or more commonly termed deported, from the United States. Some people are placed into removal proceedings after having issues with law enforcement, or some people are placed into removal proceedings after crossing the southern border and asking for asylum. Some people are also placed into removal proceedings for simply being in the United States without authorization. So there's a variety of people that are in this process and for different reasons.
So here we have the Biden administration saying, okay, as one step to try to clear up this backlog, ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, should clear low priority immigration cases. First, from what we know from the administration so far, what do they mean by low priority cases?
So they haven't defined low priority cases, but they've defined the cases that they'd like to concentrate on. So if someone is a case is involving public safety, so maybe someone with a criminal conviction or a national security issue, so terrorism or something like that, that would be of concern, or families that have recently crossed the border to come to the United States. So those are going to be considered the higher priority. But the lower priority cases are then, we can assume, are people that maybe are just in the United States without authorization, but have had no issues with law enforcement or any sort of security issues. And they may even have family that are U.S. citizens, including children. But in order to process through the immigration proceedings, you generally will go through, need to qualify for a form of relief from deportation. And some people simply aren't eligible, even if you have U.S. citizen children. So in certain cases, ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement attorneys, can use their discretion to administratively close those cases so that they're not taking up space on the docket. The individuals are not a danger to society, and they can stay in the United States, but it doesn't mean that they can stay permanently or that they even have a work permit. So it's not a huge benefit, but at least they're not going through the immigration proceedings and won't be deported.
And now this policy comes as the administration expects a larger number of migrants potentially starting next month. This is when public health rules that have been used to limit immigration, public health rules related to COVID, are at least expected to end. Can you talk about that change and the impact it could have?
Sure. So, yeah, Title 42, which is a way that the United States, a law that the United States used to close the southern border to pretty much everyone, even those seeking asylum due to the pandemic and the danger that the CDC had determined was present with people crossing our southern border. The CDC recently announced that because of the vaccinations and other mitigating factors, that danger no longer is around. So people will now be able to process on the southern border. So we look at the past 2 years, over 2 years, that Title 42 has been in effect and has closed the southern border. Now, all those people that have been waiting for 2 years to attempt to seek asylum in the United States, many of them attempting to seek asylum and refuge, will then will now have the opportunity to do so. So it will be a large number of people, and it sounds like the Biden administration is attempting to prepare for their arrival.
Talking to Aaron Barbato, director of the Immigrant Justice Clinic at the UW Law School, looking at Biden administration changes on immigration policy, border enforcement policy, including this effort to focus on what they say are higher priority cases that are currently in this massively backlogged immigration court system. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have a question, if you have a thought on what you'd like to see from the Biden administration and or Congress on these issues, maybe a personal experience to share of yourself or a friend, a family member, someone you know. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. With this massive backlog in these immigration courts, Aaron, how long are we seeing people's cases take to go through that system and get a resolution to determine whether they're deported or not?
That's a really good question. And it appears, based on information from Syracuse University, their track system, that it's taking about an average of 5 years for people to process through the system when they're non-detained, so they're not in jail during the process of removal, which is a very long time for certain people, especially if they have a strong form of relief and they're simply waiting to be on their pathway to citizenship. So in certain cases, with the work that I do, we've had to ask for expedited hearings, which is difficult to obtain. But when we have clients who are desperate to receive asylum, which means that they will have a pathway to citizenship and may allow them to reunite with their family, it becomes a priority, because 5 years is a very long time for people to wait to know whether they have safety and refuge here in the United States.
And what's their status in the meantime? Can they legally work, for example?
So it depends on whether they have a application for relief pending. So there are different ways to kind of fight deportation, is how we see it, relief from deportation. And one of the most common ways is applying for asylum. There's also something called cancellation of removal for people who've been here for over 10 years, if they're not lawful permanent residents. So if they do have possibly eligible for relief, they may be eligible to have a work permit, but not everybody is eligible to do so. And it takes a while, at least 6 months, to receive a work permit once you have filed an application with the immigration court.
Now, with this prioritization that the Biden administration is calling for from ICE, saying, hey, let's focus on the high priority cases, clear some of these lower priority ones, the numbers of people potentially eligible are estimated as high as 700,000. About 40% of the current immigration cases in the current backlog could fit this low priority standard. But it seems like people see a very wide potential range of who actually would end up in that category. What are you looking at?
You know, when I saw this announced, you know, I thought about some of our clients that we've been working with for years, who one in particular who doesn't have, he's not eligible for any relief from deportation, but he's been waiting for his final hearing for about 7 years now. But he's been in the United States for close to 20 years, has worked hard, and never had any issues with police, and has family here. But the family that he has here are not eligible to apply for him through the immigration system, because it's very difficult to find pathways to citizenship. So I think about him, someone who's been in the United States for a long time, has worked very hard for a company, and his employers want him to stay, but he has had the looming fear of being deported for the past 7 years. And I believe that this new policy may allow him to remain in the United States, not in a status where he has a pathway to citizenship, but at least where he can stay, where he has in his home.
Aaron Barbato is with us, director of the Immigrant Justice Clinic at the UW Law School. She's helping us sort out a Biden administration directive aimed at resolving low-priority immigration cases. Those make up up to 40% of the current 1.7 million case backlog currently in our immigration court system. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have thoughts on this policy or other things you've seen from the Biden administration when it comes to immigration and especially the southern border? Is there a policy change you would like to see made one way or another? Do you have a question for our guest about how all these systems work? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Right now, we're picking up our conversation about the Biden administration's changes to the immigration system with Aaron Barbato, director of the Immigrant Justice Clinic at the University of Wisconsin Law School. Still time for you to join in, if you'd like, at 800-642-1234 with your questions for our guest, your thoughts on immigration policy in the United States, changes you would like to see made or reversed. Call 800-642-1234. Or if you have a personal experience with the immigration system, if you or someone you know sought asylum in the United States, love to hear that perspective. 800-642-1234 is the number, or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Aaron, suppose I'm someone in one of the Central American countries that are providing a lot of the people seeking asylum here, and I say, you know, I want to go to the United States. I want to immigrate. I want to go through the full legal immigration system. I don't want to risk trying to cross and claim asylum because that seems pretty touch and go. What is that process like?
Oh, it's extremely complicated and limited. So generally for someone to immigrate to the United States, meaning to come here permanently, they would need to qualify through family-based connections, which mostly is a very close family member, spouse, children, parents, or employment-based permanent immigration, but those types of visas are incredibly difficult to obtain as well, and are really only saved for some of the best and brightest people in the world with the most accomplishments. Then you may be able to, the other category, so family, employment, and then we look at humanitarian-based reasons. So if someone may be eligible for asylum, meaning that they have a fear of persecution or have been persecuted in their home country because of race, religion, nationality, membership in a particular social group, or political opinion, they may be able to seek asylum in the United States. But there is no just way for everyone to come to the United States. It's very specific categories with very long lines and high eligibility categories.
And those asylum categories you just mentioned, there's been some back and forth in the U.S. on what constitutes a threat that allows you to make a successful claim for asylum. And I'm thinking again in these Central American countries where people are fleeing organized gang violence or threats to their children, that isn't always treated as something that's covered under those asylum categories, right?
That is correct. It has become more difficult to obtain asylum based on gang violence or persecution by gangs, especially after the Trump administration. But in certain cases, you may be eligible, but it is a very difficult category to qualify for asylum under.
Another change, and correct me if I'm not understanding this correctly, another change the Biden administration is looking for, I think, is to say, for these asylum claim cases, we're going to try to resolve this by allowing basically officers at the border, asylum officers at the border, make the decision as opposed to having that case go through into this backlogged immigration court system. Do I have that right, first of all? And if so, what does that mean?
Right. I think that's a great summary of what the intention is. And so whenever anyone arrives at the southern border and they want to seek asylum, they will arrive at the southern border, present themselves to Customs Border Protection, and they will not have the right documents to come into the United States generally. So they will be placed in what's called expedited removal proceedings. At that point, if the person expresses a fear of return to their home country, they will then be offered an opportunity to prove that they have a credible fear of return. So it's an interview with an immigration officer. If they pass that credible fear interview, generally then they're then placed into removal proceedings. But this new process will allow asylum officers to process people for asylum. So what it seems like to me is people with very strong cases will be able to receive asylum quite quickly. And those that don't receive asylum from the asylum officer, they will then be placed into removal proceedings and present their case in front of an immigration judge. But instead of it taking 5 years, it will happen within 90 days. So it's a much faster process, which is beneficial for some, and I worry for many others.
Right. And I've seen concerns that it would offer less opportunity to get legal representation in that expedited case.
Exactly. Having legal representation is a game changer in the immigration system. It's incredibly difficult to process on your own, and even with an attorney can be incredibly difficult. But when, if everybody's being processed at the southern border in these clandestine locations, it's going to be very difficult for people to have any sort of access, not only to an attorney, but to trusted information.
We're talking to Aaron Barbato, director of the Immigrant Justice Clinic at the UW Law School, looking at a handful of changes coming from the Biden administration related to the U.S.-Mexico border, immigration, claims of asylum, and more. Still time for you to join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Aaron, I know there's concern from some people, like with this low priority designation, in effect, allowing people to stay still in a gray area in the United States. Republicans in particular expressing concern, well, is this going to, in effect, invite more people to seek to cross the border in hopes of getting into that same situation? Do you have that concern?
You know, I don't have that concern. What it seems to me is that the Biden administration was really hoping to have a pathway to citizenship for many of these people. But in order to create that, Congress would have needed to act to create a law to allow people who are undocumented without any issues with law enforcement or security and have been in the United States for a long time to have a pathway to citizenship, even if they were in removal proceedings. But that hasn't happened. So now what they will be left with is, if they are taken off of the immigration docket, the deportation docket, then people may be able to stay in the United States for some time, but they don't have any pathway to citizenship or any benefits that will make their life that much better besides being able to remain in the United States and remain with their family. So it's not a huge win for these people because they'll still have to live very much in the shadows, and policies can change with administration, which we have seen. So our next president can change the policy and these people could end up right back into deportation proceedings. So they live with a fear of deportation regardless of the situation.
Let's bring on a caller. Jody is with us in Downing. Jody, hi.
Hi, I'm calling. I'm in support of this. I think we should be going a lot farther and having a pathway for citizenship as well as temporary visas. I work with nonprofit in Guatemala, but I also am surrounded by farmers that are, they're, all their staff are these undocumented workers that, you know, we need the workers. Everywhere you go, there's help wanted signs. We need the workers. It only makes sense, and I hope that they can expand it beyond this. Thank you.
Jody, thanks for the call. And Aaron, I just saw the Wall Street Journal reporting a big part of our labor shortage in the United States, in part, is related to a big drop in legal immigration in recent years. Is there room, a need for more work-related visas?
I believe so. I think there's a need for more pathways to citizenship and also temporary visas for people who would like to come here seasonally or for a few years. But that will take Congress to act in order to change those policies generally, and they just haven't done so yet. But Wisconsin businesses and agriculture definitely depend on immigrant work for documented and undocumented people.
Thanks for that call. Aaron, I've talked to you in the past about your work with the Immigrant Justice Clinic, trying to gain access to people at the border to give them legal representation. What are some of the biggest challenges you're facing in the last year or so?
Well, the pandemic has created a number of issues for accessing our clients and also for being able to process cases through the immigration courts because they have been closed. So a lot of our clients have just been waiting quite a long time. However, we have been very much involved with the people that have arrived from Afghanistan and lived at Fort McCoy, and are now, many are processing for asylum here in Wisconsin. So we're working a lot with them and planning some trips to the border to provide additional access to information for people seeking refuge there, as well as a trip to Germany this summer to work with people seeking refuge in Germany to learn about the process for Ukrainians and Afghans over there.
And as we wrap up in our last minute or so, Erin, what is the biggest unanswered question for you right now when it comes to U.S. immigration policy?
I think the biggest question for me is, how are we going to come up with a humane solution that really is ensuring that people who deserve safety under our laws will have the opportunity to do so? So many people have been forced to remain outside of our borders for years under the Trump administration and then due to the pandemic. So I'm really hoping that the Biden administration can come up with a plan to ensure that people have access to justice and safety under the laws in the United States.
Erin, thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Erin Barbato is the director of the Immigrant Justice Clinic at the University of Wisconsin Law School. She talked to us today about President Biden's directive to resolve lower priority immigration cases in the backlogged immigration court system, along with other changes in immigration policy that may be on the way.